WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into March Madness around here. We've got bracketology everywhere. We're 2 weeks out on opening day. We've got green beer. I've got Maryland crab cake door dates coming, courtesy of the Maryland Lottery and our friends at Window Nation. But this week, we're going to be doing March Madness at Hollywood Casino, Perryville. And of course, that's going to be at the Barstool Sportsbook Restaurant. It is family friendly. Come by, get some wings, get some beer, get some burgers, have some pizza, stay a while, hang out. Terps play at noon on Thursday. I'll be there all Thursday afternoon. And I would think, Luke, that at 12:15, when the Terps tip off against West Virginia, we still won't have any real thought about what's happening with Lamar. But you never know. I mean, these quarterbacks are coming off the deck pretty quickly. Even cornerbacks have been involved in dealings. I guess that's part of the tampering and non-tampering period here as it leads up to the big day, that anything's possible at this point, right? And number one, pick Spindell. All sorts of things have happened. And you are like a mother hen sitting on, you know, waiting for the eggs to hatch here and figure out what's going to happen, because this has been one of the more intriguing episodes. And I say this not lightly, and I'm not hyperbole. It's been 31 years of me doing this. The Ray Lewis trial, the Cal Ripken streak, the championships themselves and big playoff games and whatnot. I don't know that we've seen Messina offseason drama with that, although we all thought that was a foregone conclusion, much in the way that Dennis and I think that this is unhappy and that there should be a divorce if they're unhappy, because it feels like they're unhappy. And but this is the here and now, and this is not just the biggest story in Baltimore, it's the biggest story in sports.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly right up there when you consider the NCAA tournament and I mean, free agency in general, such a big period of time. But the thing I was going to say was, I think it's interesting to see how much things change, how rapidly things change this time of year. I mean, since the last time you and I talked, Carolina acquired the number one overall pick. As you mentioned, Jalen Ramsey's now going to the Miami Dolphins. I mean, you see things happen so quickly. And the next time you and I talk, things will have changed quite quickly. But I'm not so confident that that's going to be the case with Lamar Jackson and where this story stands. And it's really one of those situations. And
dude, when you're more complicated than Jalen Ramsey, you're complicated, dog.
I mean, there's so much to this that I just don't know. And it's weird. And things are so quiet. And we've talked about that for 2 years now.
Does
how
he
quiet...
want to play for the Indianapolis Colts or the Washington, whatever the third name? You know what I mean? Does he just want to get paid, run around in an NFL jersey and be the savior? While it's, I mean, it really is. I don't know. Some of these places, I'm like, okay. You know, for him, God bless him, he needs to get paid. But I don't know. I don't envision him just going somewhere and winning. And you and I have a big difference. I think we have a difference of opinion about how quickly your program changes when you give him the money, give away a couple draft picks. And then, I mean, I see Atlanta with this $60 million gaudy cap availability number. When that evaporates and you got to go win, and I think it's – this is really complicated. As we've said before.
I think it also changes when you don't have them, though. But – I think what's becoming very clear in what is an anything but kind of situation is, I think it's becoming apparent that this doesn't feel like it's going to be a case where there's six teams going after him. I'm also not of the thought, you know, as far as the initial reaction and leaks and all of that, when it was announced that the Ravens were placing the non-exclusive tag, we saw the different teams leak to their local beat reporters that we're not going to be interested. We're not going to be interested. We're not going to be interested, which, keep in mind, all those teams have, for the most part, an incumbent quarterback, right? And you don't want to be in a position like the Cleveland Browns were in a year ago, where you're in on a quarterback and then you're out and, oh, you've offended your incumbent. And then Jimmy Haslam at that point decided to give a fully guaranteed deal to Deshaun.
Well, the owners have been doing that to head coaches every time they fly Jim Harbaugh somewhere, right?
But you're trying to avoid that kind of situation publicly. So that's where, you know, right off the bat, are there some teams that have leaked that they're not interested, that are interested, or at least have been interested? And, you know, go back to the combine and information gathering and all that goes on there. even though we know that legal tampering doesn't begin until this week, and obviously the signing period being on Wednesday. But so that's been going on, and there are certainly teams that have gathered information. There are certainly teams that like Lamar Jackson and love Lamar Jackson as a quarterback, but we've talked about all the different parameters that complicate this, that muddy the waters. And so many of these factors that have muddied the waters for the Baltimore Ravens in their efforts to re-sign Lamar Jackson and to marry him, so to speak. So from that standpoint, you understand that there are going to be some teams that just say, no, we're not doing it. And some of it's as simple as we think the Ravens will match what the best deal that we can offer because they're not going to really let him go for just two first round picks. At least that's the thinking that these teams will have. So, but you just go down the list of teams and you can start to eliminate some teams at the very least, right? New Orleans has signed Derek Carr. Carolina did not trade up to the number one overall pick to sign Lamar Jackson, right? So, you just go down the list and you kind of say, okay, who needs a quarterback? Where are their draft picks? And where is their cap space? Because whether you're of the mind that, like you, where you're more inclined to think that the Ravens are a little more eager to move on from Lamar Jackson than I think. I'm not at all convinced that they're looking to trade him at this point in time, because I think the non-exclusive tag is evidence that would support the contrary. But I don't know that for certain, and we don't know how much interest is going to be there. But you look at the teams that have the cap space to do a fully guaranteed deal, to do a deal that has a first year number that's going to make it very difficult for the Ravens to match. And you kind of come back to Falcons. I mean, the Raiders have cap space, but hell, the argument in Las Vegas has been that they're so cash poor that to even fire a coach. So how's that going to translate to putting money in escrow to sign Lamar Jackson? So you just kind of go down the list of teams and you mentioned the Commanders
Maybe
at
they can
one
get the
point.
guys to put the ice cream together to bring Lamar out to Vegas. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Yeah, I
I think
mean,
fans, listen, fans out on Twitter, this has all been easy peasy. And I think from the beginning, we all said it wasn't going to be easy. The one thing that I think the internet did was, and this is where you and I get sideways, but what is his real value? And Carolina said, we're smart guys here. We'll go get our own quarterback. We'll give a draft away. But when we get our quarterback, we're going to have him under our control for 5 years and not at $50 million and running into linebackers 5, 6, 7, 8 years into his career, and 29 and 30 and guaranteeing that money. I think a lot of other teams, legitimately, not collusion, although believe me, I have no thoughts about the integrity of these men in any way that they wouldn't collude, especially over the Players Association, which is still, as I said, it's the original sin. It's Adam and Eve. It's like they're going to hate it. It's from the beginning. And that is the war, is suppressing salaries. That's their business. That's what they do. And for me, with Lamar, paying him all the money, guaranteeing him all the money, not really being guaranteed you're going to have a quarterback in January from a wear and tear standpoint, psychologically, just looking at a guy that runs 200 times a year and thinking about where that's going to be and giving a draft away. Teams are saying, do I have another option? Is he the only option? And if he's the only option and that's where I have to go with guaranteed money and giving things away, do we have another option? Is there some, do we have, can we, let's sign Derek Carr before we go giving drafts away and all this guaranteed money. Let's go do something else. And I think a lot of people really believe, like, if Peyton Manning were available in his prime, or name any Hall of Fame quarterback or any game changer, Joe Burrow, name any of these guys, Mahomes, that if these guys were available, everybody would want him. Not everybody wanted Deshaun Watson last year. It just felt that way, I guess, for a couple of minutes. But the feeling was everybody would want, who without a quarterback wouldn't want Lamar Jackson? And we all say that. And now that the rubber meets the road and the money and the picks and the ownership, general manager, coach to say, and the style being different just in general, you'd have to change some things for in most programs, you bring Lamar Jackson and just about how you would want to tactically go at things with him, that teams are just saying, I have another way to do this. I don't know if the Ravens have another way to do this. The other way to do it is trade and get the seventh pick in the draft, take the fourth best quarterback. I don't know. It feels like the quarterbacks are going to go 1-2, you know, right off the top. So if you're not at the top, you're probably not going to get a quarterback. I think, right? We all think that, right?
Yeah, well, and that's where I keep coming back to. And you and I have talked about this for weeks and weeks. And, you know, you've been more on the of the opinion that this was going towards a divorce. And I'm not going to say that it's going towards a long-term deal. But because of what you just posed is where I'm reluctant to say, so what are the Ravens going to do here? Okay, you can figure out a deal, or maybe there is a team that signs them to an offer sheet. Where do you go from there? You know, going back to what
you
just said.
Well, they're willing to pay him $50 million a year to be their quarterback, right? Or at least they were at one point. Maybe they're just sort of like, something happened, and we talk about these calluses, that's Dennis's word, God bless him, or the bruised feelings, whatever you would say, something. Come on, man, you're a reporter. It doesn't smell – nothing has smelled right out there in December. You sat at these press conferences seeing this coach that was a little beleaguered and bewildered and frustrated and the organization and all of the text and my injury was – like all of that. I don't know whether they're still like, we're in on Lamar for 3 more years and a buck and a half. We always were. And we're going to guarantee it at 120 in case he breaks his leg. And then we're just going to be out. The insurance would be another 20, 25, 30 million toward a year he can't play, not 150 million toward 3 years he can't play.
Yeah. I mean, I just think where do the Ravens go from here? I mean, I think everything is setting up and again, this can change very quickly. And you and I could be talking 2 days from now and a team has already signed them to an offer sheet. And we're talking in much different terms as far as what that sheet, what that offer is. Are the Ravens going to match it? You know, what's that going to look like?
It only takes one, as we pointed out,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, exactly.
One team overcashed that can really pay them a lot early in the thing. And the Ravens could, at that point, could, PR-wise, push in and say, hey, man, we couldn't match that. We weren't comfortable with that deal. And I think in the end, if that happens, the Ravens just leak out to their people. He wasn't really happy here. He wasn't happy here. Do you understand that? That's like in a marriage. If people get divorced, they weren't happy. Okay, that's all I need to know. I don't need to know anymore. They weren't happy. And I think there's a point for the Ravens that if they want to get rid of him, and you're like, why would they want to get rid of him? Like, because they don't want to give him $225 million. And maybe they just don't want him to be their quarterback anymore. Maybe they're just – they've strategized this out 100 ways, Luke. They have a plan for everything. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they're desperate to keep Lamar. And if they haven't given any signal that they are, and I think this is their chance to say, no one's going to pay more than us if they really want to keep him. And I just will be so shocked if this can be happy again and we can all come back together and wear our eights and serve ice cream. And like, I that would shock me. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
On behalf of the kid and the franchise, it would shock me. And this is the witching hour of, to your point, what if nobody comes forward for all the reasons we said, all legitimate, and the Ravens have to figure this out? Does that mean they get a better deal on Lamar? He's not going to play for $32 million, right?
I don't know that. I mean, I think the thing that we're finding is the people that are the most sure of themselves as far as what's going to happen are finding over and over that they're being proven wrong, right? I mean, everything along the way.
It's like a Piper's Pit episode.
It's unconventional, right? Every time you think you have the answers, I change the questions, right? The late Rowdy Roddy Piper. But I don't know that. And I think you go back to even a year ago, and I remember Ian Rappaport said this on NFL Network. Yeah, this is probably, it might have even been before the Deshaun Watson deal. And he even threw out the, you know, the possibility. And he wasn't reporting anything. It was more so just, what if Lamar Jackson, if he is truly set, it must have been post-Watson because it obviously was, contingent on him wanting a fully guaranteed deal or assuming he wants a fully guaranteed deal. in terms of him going the Kirk Cousins route and playing on the tag for a year, playing on it another year, and then he finally gets the free agency. If Lamar Jackson is truly set on getting a fully guaranteed deal, or at least the fully guaranteed money that exceeds Deshaun Watson's, he might be willing to play on the tag. If it, as opposed to saying you're not going to play at all and trying to force the Ravens' hand and trying to actually make something happen here. As we said all along, if he wanted a fully guaranteed deal last year, probably the move was to not show up at training camp or to hold in or to threaten sitting out games. You know, he never really forced the Ravens' hand in that way, other than skipping OTAs, which in the big picture is still not all that terribly consequential. So, you know, he hasn't done that. He doesn't have an agent. We know all about that. So that's where I look at this situation and say, if a team, if an owner, and again, if you're talking about a fully guaranteed deal, that's where you kind of look at these teams that GMs, presumably GMs or someone in a front office has leaked to these reporters in these various markets saying, I'm not interested. This is an ownership decision. I mean, even the Browns thought they were out on Deshaun Watson until Jimmy Haslam fully guarantees a deal, right? So, I mean, that's what we're really talking about here. But I think if that doesn't happen and the money, the offer that Lamar Jackson is seeking does not present itself, does he just say, all right, I'll play on the tag and, you know, I'll do this again next offseason? I don't think that's an impossible scenario. I don't think that's ideal for the Ravens or Lamar, especially Lamar, because for the Ravens, hey, you get a franchise quarterback who's won a lot of games and played at a very high level for well below market value.
Well, and quote unquote has a lot to prove.
Yeah,
because he's trying to get $300 million 3 years from now, right? Whenever Mahomes gets redone and Burrow wins a Super Bowl and whenever all this happens, two or three, or he wins a Super Bowl, right?
Or just a matter of he actually becomes a free agent, you know, whether it's next offseason or he tries to do it, tries to go the Kirk Cousins route. So, again, I'm not saying that's optimal for – it's certainly not optimal for him. It's not optimal for the Ravens, although I'm not going to cry the blues for the Ravens either because, you know, Lamar Jackson playing on a below-market value tag, you know, as opposed to paying him a fully guaranteed deal that you clearly aren't willing to do, it's not the worst thing in the world for them in a short-term sense. But then we go back to how happy is he, you know, how good is the relationship between player and team. You know, you make mention, I don't think this is a situation where reuniting and singing Kumbaya and all that, I don't think it's insurmountable. I mean, what's happened that's been so bad that you can't come back from?
You know, nothing publicly. To
right,
your point.
Right.
Nothing
I mean, that's
publicly,
the thing. So,
right?
So that's where I keep coming back to this and say, I mean, what you said, you know, maybe it's as simple as Lamar Jackson sees that there's not another team out there at this point in time that's willing to give him a fully guaranteed deal. You know, whatever the specific number, you know, Deshaun Watson plus one, right? You know, if that's kind of the minimum that he's looking for, if that team's not out there, you know, maybe at that point he does say, you know what, the Ravens have made me a really good offer. Maybe at that point he's willing to go back to the table and say, all right, it was already, you know, Chris Mortensen reported last September what you guys offered me. Can we sweeten the pot, even if it's kind of phony type dollars you throw in there, some extra incentives, whatever, to make it look a little bit better? And then you work out a deal that's, you know, Lamar staying on the Ravens' terms. You know, it's possible. I don't know if I'd say that's the most likely outcome right now. I do, as I said to you last week, I do think from the moment that they placed the non-exclusive tag on him, I feel stronger about the likelihood of him staying as opposed to leaving. I think if they were set on trading him and they felt that there was a good chance that was going to happen, I think he would have gotten the exclusive tag and you would have just seen him dealt then. So what does that mean in terms of,
again, the market has not materialized. The fact that they put that on him.
Yeah. I mean, to some degree, I think there are so many different ways to interpret this. And look, I mean, going back to what you were talking about several minutes ago in terms of these teams looking at all their different options, it's not as simple as saying I want Lamar Jackson or I don't want Lamar Jackson. And that's where a lot of these arguments that you see on Twitter end up being disingenuous, because there's so much more to it. There are so many different layers to this. There's so much that complicates this that helps you understand. Now, that doesn't mean that going and signing Derek Carr is smarter. It's just what the New Orleans Saints ultimately went and did.
Well,
That
the
doesn't.
complexities of them non-exclusive tagging him and keeping money so that they didn't have to cut more, Chuck Clark's, right? Like, in just the general sense, how complex the salary situation is when you're talking about a $30 to $50 million piece and moving that around in any franchise where the salary cap's in the mid-200s, that it's extremely difficult to do.
Yeah, I mean it definitely is, but I think it also reflects what they anticipate his market being, which I think they anticipate it being light. Because again, throw out the and I know Mike Florio's really been kind of pounding the table for this scenario. I don't think he's reporting it as much as speculating about it, but talking about Washington, right? Talking about the scenario of Dan Snyder, who we think is on his way out sooner rather than later. Talking about what kind of middle finger that could potentially be to all of his partners who don't want him there anymore, to then sign a quarterback to a fully guaranteed deal, which would improve the value of the Washington Commanders from a bells and whistles standpoint, having a franchise quarterback who's been a former MVP. And well, that check, the bulk of that wouldn't be him paying that. That would be the next guy. So, but under that scenario, Washington's picking 16th. I mean, if you're the Ravens and the Washington Commanders come with a fully guaranteed deal that's structured in a way where you can't match, and you're only getting the 16th pick in the first round, that's where I keep coming back to, what's the Ravens' alternative here? That's not an acceptable return for Lamar Jackson. It's not. If that's how it happens, then Eric DaCosta and the Ravens really screwed this up. I mean, that's not good enough for the asset that is Lamar Jackson, even if you are of the mind that you want to move on from him. So that's where I keep
Well, it
coming
goes
back
back to
to.
Steve thinking all the owners are going to play nice.
Well, and right, sure. So, and that's where Florio's mentioned that scenario of Dan Snyder doing such a thing, which again, do I think that's going to happen? Probably not. But at the same time, as we've said, all it takes is one team. All it takes is one Maverick, right? Someone to go again off the beaten path as far as what's been acceptable. And Jimmy Haslam was that guy a year ago at this point. So, but I just keep coming back to the Ravens as, in terms of if it's not Lamar, then what? I mean, Carolina's already traded up. The Bears have Justin Fields. Atlanta, it could be Atlanta. It still could be Atlanta with all the cap space that they have. And, as much as
Well, the
maybe
amazing
are.
thing is they took themselves out of the bidding right away. Maybe they're saying we're the only bidder.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, and that's where, again, you have to be careful. None of these teams really want to say, especially at that point in time, which was more than
Five
a week.
minutes out.
Right. And
Last
over a
week.
week away from when you can even talk to him. Keep in mind, he's not an unrestricted free agent. So even with he's not even subject to teams talking to him on Monday, for the start of the tampering period. It's Wednesday, for him. Now, again, through back channels, you could talk if he had an agent. But again, that complicates things. But all these teams that have, whether you're the Falcons with Desmond Ridder or one of these other teams that has some incumbent in place, even if it's not a high profile name, you want to try to keep that bottled up as long as you can. And you're thinking you want to try to do this, you're kind of going rogue, right? It's just like you want to keep it quiet and then boom, there's the offer if it's coming. Because all these teams know what Lamar wants at this point. I think it's obvious. So the teams that kind of took themselves out of the running, then they're out of it. But teams that might be considering it or might be prepared to make that fully guaranteed offer or whatever that lucrative number might be, then they're trying to keep it as quiet as they can. And again, at that point, it was more than a week away from when the start of the new league year starts. We'll see how it plays out. I mean, it's complicated. We've said that over and over, and
Well,
that sounds like a cop out, but it is. And that's why we're still, on the eve of the new league year actually starting, where teams can sign him to an offer sheet, and it's still
how do teams get in touch with him? That's where
right. I
I'm
mean, that's part
still
of it. That's part of it. I mean,
very, very like how you can't take a phone call from anybody else saying they represent him legally because they don't. Only he represents himself. The league has a system for this, right? So, is Lamar on Zoom right now with Arthur Blank? I mean, like, it's just totally bizarre, and it's
yeah.
outside the boundaries of what the Ravens have been comfortable with, or league decor, like the way these things get done, especially the complexities of multiple franchises and
Sure.
trying to get them to bid on you. It's everything you wouldn't want. I don't know what else to say. That if you loved your child, you really were sophisticated enough to understand this, you would seek representation. And I think every professional I've met has said that. And it's nice, and it's cute, and it's bohemian, and it's cool, and he's his own guy, and it's modern, and but it's not. He's not maximizing his value. He's already left
Well,
$20 million on the table last year. So he's
no.
already chasing bad money, and they franchised him now. And I guess legally, he'd have to play for 32 if nobody bids, right? So, like, this is how not to do it. This is the opposite of Darrelle Revis.
Well, I think what's so fascinating about this, Nestor, is if he wanted a conventional, and when I say conventional, meaning a non-Deshaun Watson deal, right? Which that, and inherently that's what we come back to. The Ravens view that as an outlier. As an outlier, he views it as, hey, I'm better than Deshaun Watson. And I've said on a very simplistic level, both teams or both sides are coming from a fair point of argument, right? I mean, we can at least make that argument. I mean, Andrew Brandt has spoken up in support of Lamar Jackson, and he kind of understands how this stuff works way better than you or me. But to go about getting that fully guaranteed deal without an agent, without a game plan other than just that's my number and I'm not signing or really negotiating until you come there. You know, and that's kind of where this thing has been from that standpoint. If Lamar kind of wanted a more traditional, getting a little more than the next guy, 60 or 70% of it, whatever the percent would be guaranteed. If he wanted that, then this deal would have been done already. Because, I think you look at the Ravens deal, you can say, all right, it wasn't Deshaun Watson money. It's not the fully guaranteed Deshaun Watson deal. But, beyond that, if you're viewing that as an outlier, it's not as though the Ravens have made an offer that's extraordinarily below the rest of market value or anything like that. So, but that's the thing. Lamar identified, from last March on, that he wanted what Deshaun Watson got, or a dollar more, or however many dollars more. But having a strategy to play hardball to go and get it, it hasn't been there. Again, his plan in terms of anything he's done tactically from a negotiating standpoint has been he skipped voluntary OTAs, which, again, at the time, yeah, it made some, it's made some buzz, but is that all that consequential in the big picture sense? No, not really. As we said at the time, that was a symptom maybe of it not being a kumbaya negotiation as people were, fans were hoping it was.
Well, it didn't
But,
stop him from winning games in September and
right,
October.
exactly. And that was the thing. It was more a symptom of, okay, maybe all isn't well here in the way that fans wanted to say that this wasn't. And I'm not beating up fans. I'm saying they're hoping that this was
As a
a.
reporter, I knew all wasn't well because I had
Right,
inside sources
exactly.
that told me things weren't well.
Exactly.
And that was in
But
May.
again, that wasn't the power play move that's going to get you that fully guaranteed deal, right? Clearly, because it didn't happen. So from that
I think it
standpoint, if
was
you wanted
offensive to the
something
team,
that's
and it was the exact opposite of what he was trying to do, was saying, let me show you how much value I have by not being here. I think Steve Bisciotti and these egotistical, wealthy men push back upon that. I don't think that. I know that. And I think that that has been the last 6 months of the power play of, oh, you're going to hold out? Oh, you're not going to show up and say, oh, you're really injured? Oh, you're going to put out your own press release? Well, then you're not going to be our quarterback. And I would think that that's the way they would play this with anyone else. Or they're going to give Lamar special treatment because he's the quarterback and he's special and he is special. He's one of one. He's all that in a bag of donuts. Let's see what the open market gives you now. So it was very humbling for Ray Lewis, right? It was very profitable for Deshaun Watson, although he never really hit the open
yeah.
market. But right now, the way Lamar has gone about this, without an agent, with all of this, it doesn't appear to have benefited him. Dude, a week from now, if he's got $219 million of guaranteed money
One
from the
team,
Atlanta
right?
Falcons,
Yeah.
right? And they load this thing up and they play coy and they're like, oh my God, he's all that in a bag of he's everything we've ever wanted for our organization. Lamar, here's the eight, put it on. Maybe they feel that way. If they have, they've played a good bluffing game, which is what all this is about, right? Like that piece I shared out on Yahoo last week, the Charles Robinson, they're so good. It started with just the quote, all these guys are liars. It's a con man's game right now.
Yeah, it is. And that's why, again, I didn't put too much stock into the initial reports of teams saying they're not expecting to be in on Lamar Jackson. And we know some weren't. I mean, the Carolina Panthers acquired the first overall pick. They're clearly not in on Lamar Jackson anymore, right? If they ever were, if there was ever a thought that they were going to. It's complicated. And again, that sounds like such a cop out because we've been saying that for the better part of 2 years.
Well, we do it on a
But
cocktail
I mean, that's
napkin.
where
They
it
got to
is at
go
this
do it for
point. And
real. And it's different for real.
well, and that's the thing. And everything we've laid out, from not having an agent to what the price is to what the draft capital is that you have to give up, all of that, it still comes back to for these other teams to say, are we going to expend the effort to negotiate and try to get an offer sheet done and do all, go down the road, go down the road with this scenario? And we not know if the Ra and not know if the Ravens are just going to match it. I mean, that's another layer to this. That's why you see so few restricted free agents signed to an offer sheet by another team, because more often than not, when it happens, it ends up getting matched. Now, there are certainly scenarios where that doesn't happen, and you'll see a team see a restricted free agent change teams, but that's opportunity cost, right? If you're going to negotiate with Lamar Jackson and sign to an offer sheet, and then that's going to count against your cap for up to 5 days until the Ravens say yay or nay on matching that. That could be a lot of missed opportunities if the Ravens ultimately match it, and then you're left with nothing, and other than saying, well, we tried to get Lamar Jackson. So, and that's even on the scenario, that's on the side of, you're able to negotiate with Lamar, and you talk and you have good dialogue and all that. That's still the Ravens being involved there. And that's still where I come back to, what's the Ravens play here if Lamar Jackson's not their quarterback in 2023? And it's where I still struggle with this. Okay, Atlanta, it's a number eight pick. But as I mentioned, humor me with the Washington Commanders scenario. They're picking 16th. You're probably not getting your franchise quarterback of the future with that pick. So what are you doing then? You're going to go sign Baker Mayfield for a year? I mean, really? That's going to be your play. So that's where I keep coming back to. I'm more convinced than I was 2 or 3 weeks ago that Lamar is going to be their quarterback in 2023. I don't know if that's going to be on a compromise of a long-term deal, or is that going to be he tries to wait this thing out, and he tries to wait this thing out, he tries to wait it out some more, and then we're talking about him playing on the tag in the same way we talked about him playing on his fifth-year option. I think that's absolutely a scenario that could be what happens. It's not ideal. Certainly, I mean, it's far from ideal for him because he's playing below market, missing out on more money, taking on more risk, potential of, a so-so season, especially if he holds out, misses training camp, whatever. But if you're the Ravens, no, it doesn't give you that long-term stability that I'm sure you'd like, whether it's him or whoever your quarterback's going to be. But you're getting a very good quarterback, a former MVP, someone who's familiar with you and has won a lot of games. I'll keep reminding you of that every time we try to poke holes in, or express concerns about Lamar. They've won a ton of games with him as their quarterback. For $32 million, there are worse scenarios out there for this season. But at the same time, what does that mean from a fallout standpoint? What does that mean in terms of working relationship? What does that mean in terms of when he's going to show up? Because until he signs a tag, he's under no obligation to be there for OTAs or training camp even. So, it's messy. We keep coming back to these same ways of describing it, but at the same time, we'll see how it plays out. Wednesday, the new league year is officially open. Teams can officially, legally talk to him. We'll see if there are teams interested in him. I'm sure there are teams interested in him, but are they going to pursue that? Are they going to exercise that interest and try to actually get something done? That's where, it's very quiet, but at the same time, you could say maybe a little too quiet on that front. So is there a team looming? Are the Atlanta Falcons, playing possum by leaking out that they're not interested? And then, well, Arthur Blank is interested. We'll see. So at the very least, it's going to be, it's going to be fascinating to see how this plays out. And in the meantime, and we haven't even talked about this, the Ravens, you'd like to be able to make some moves, but at the same time, they're right up against the cap. They've already worked out a trade to the Jets for Chuck Clark. I think all along we expected he wasn't going to be back based on what they did last year at the safety position. They've redone some deals, with Gus Edwards and Michael Pierce, and there's more of that that they can do. But you do that just to get under the cap, right? If you want to make some moves, and like for example, Marcus Peters is going to become a free agent, and I'm just using him as one example. Well, you need cap space. So what else, what else that entails for Eric DaCosta and the Ravens
Yeah,
to
we didn't sit around
create
here
some
saying
cap
which wide
space?
receivers are they signing, who are they signing. We're more like, who are they cutting if they sign Lamar?
Yeah, no, I mean, if they sign Lamar, you're going to create a little bit of space if you're getting him at your price, right? If we're not talking about matching the fully guaranteed
At
deal that
32
has a
million a year, he sounds like a bargain.
right. But if you're, whatever their present offer is, you'd probably create a little more space. His cap number might be $24 million this year, $20 million this year. Then you would create some space. But if you are in the scenario where you're bracing for him to sign an offer sheet, you want as much cap space as possible because you'd like to have the option at least, right, to match. Even if he signs an offer sheet that's not maybe the full guarantee, maybe it's he gets a ton of guaranteed money, but it's for, a 7-year deal, but it's not fully guaranteed. You want to keep yourself in position that you can make a decision, right? You don't want to be in a position where, you can't match an offer whatsoever. That's it. Just it really muddies the waters and just makes it feel so complicated in terms of what exactly they're going to try to get done this week, other than just trying to have as much cap space as they can have. So it's very strange. And you said it at the beginning of our conversation, and I wholeheartedly agree. Beyond talking about Ray Lewis in the off-field, Ray Rice, Jamal Lewis, those scenarios. From a business standpoint, from a contract standpoint, this is unlike anything the Ravens have ever encountered. I mean, Ray Lewis in 09, he was a seasoned vet at that point. He was, his best days were behind him at that point. It's not the case with Lamar Jackson at age 26. So buckle up because it could be a very, very interesting week, or it could be a whole lot of waiting around and still talking the same old talking points.
I got brackets. I'm headed to Hollywood Casino and the Barstool Sports book and the restaurant. Bring the kids up, bring the family up, giving away some Purple Rain ones and twos. Just come on up, say hello on Thursday for the Terps game. I have Maryland Lottery scratch-offs. We'll be giving these away on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Our friends at Window Nation as well. 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. 24 months financing free during the month of March. Make sure you're taking advantage of that. I'm taking advantage of crab cakes, springtime, Springsteen. Getting him healthy, getting my brackets healthy, getting the Orioles healthy, and certainly Lamar, 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 Lamar. I am Nestor. We are WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Lamar Jackson.